WCNO, Palm City. My word
is a lamp. Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here again another Saturday evening to continue the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the gospel writings of Matthew 27. Last week we stopped at verse 44. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled Jesus and insulted him with the same thing. And we read Luke's account of the robbers who were crucified with Jesus. And we read that one of the robbers got the revelation of who Jesus is and asked for forgiveness. And we see, people of God, Jesus said, assuredly, today you will be with me in paradise. So we are going to pray and begin from verse 45 of Matthew 27. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to be here to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll continue to bring forth revelation, knowledge to us. Enlighten us, Holy Spirit, O God, we pray, for your word tells us that you will guide us into all truth. So I pray today, O God, that the truth of your word will continue to speak to our hearts, O God, bringing forth change. Lord, we thank you for those who took time out to come to hear your word. We pray in the name of Jesus, O God, that their lives will be transformed. Those who know you, O God, will grow in grace and knowledge of you. Those who have not yet known you will come to a saving knowledge of who you are. Lord, we thank you, O God, that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. O God, continue to illuminate our pathway, that we will not stumble on the journey. Father, we bless you, we love you, and we look to you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. We continue from verse 45 of Matthew chapter 27. And the word of God says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. So we see, people of God, they brought Jesus and they crucified him. But from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., there was darkness over all the land. Look at verse 46, people of God, of Matthew 27. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So people of God, at this ninth hour, at 3 p.m., Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Everyone could hear the words that he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what it means. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt forsaken, people of God. Jesus felt forsaken on the cross. Remember, Jesus was carrying the sins of the world. Jesus was carrying the sins of humanity. He felt forsaken by his Father. So he said, my God. He didn't say, Father. He said, my God. He felt forsaken. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The word of God tells us, people of God, in Habakkuk 1, that God's eyes are so pure that he cannot behold evil. We have to understand this truth, people of God. The eyes of God are so pure, he cannot behold evil. So he could not even look on his son, people of God. So we see the word said in Habakkuk 1:13, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. So people of God, Jesus felt forsaken. Jesus felt forsaken because his Father could not look at him at that moment because he was carrying the sins of the world. So we see, people of God, the eyes of God are so pure. He cannot even look at our sin. He cannot even look at the wickedness of all that was laid on Jesus. Remember, people of God, Jesus took our sins. He took our curse. He took our grief, our sorrows, our infirmities, our inadequacies. All that was against us, he took it to the cross. He was laden with all those things on the cross. So the Father couldn't even look on him at that time. The Father had to turn away from him at that time. So he felt forsaken. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So look on verse 47 of Matthew 27. Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. So when he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, it sounds like Elijah to them. So they said, this man is calling for Elijah. Remember, the word of God says, and the word was speaking about John the Baptist, really, that Elijah would come back before the great day of the Lord. So we see people of God, they believe that Elijah, he was calling for Elijah to come to rescue him. So look on verse 48 of Matthew 27. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, that's vinegar, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. Look on verse 49 of Matthew 27. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. The others that were there with them said, leave him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. So it was a common belief among them that Elijah would be coming back. So they believed that if he called on Elijah, he wasn't calling on Elijah. He was speaking about his father, but they did not understand what he was saying. So they thought he was calling for Elijah to come to rescue him. So they said, leave him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. Look at verse 50 of Matthew 27. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. People of God, take note of this. Jesus yielded up his spirit. Jesus gave up his life. He laid down his life, people of God, and he took it up again. He is all powerful, people of God. We must understand that. No one took Jesus' life from him. He laid down his life. According to John 10, 17 and 18, we see, people of God, the word tells us, he laid down his life for us. He is our good shepherd. The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for us. And he took it up again, people of God. He rose from the dead. He took back his life again. He has the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. People of God, we must understand the God we serve. He's all powerful. He's the omnipotent God. We must understand and serve him. Worship him. Look to him. Have faith in him. The word of God says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For when we come to him, we must believe he is God. And he rewards those who diligently seek him. So let us come to understand who our God is. Jesus gave up his life. The Bible tells us, and he yielded up his spirit. So Jesus gave up his life. No man took his life from him. So many will say, okay, those Roman soldiers crucified him. They took his life from him. The word of God tells us so clearly here that he yielded up his spirit. He gave up his life for us. He laid down his life for us. He tasted death for us, Hebrews 2 tells us. So we have to understand this truth, people of God. God so loved us, John 3, 16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word of God tells us, in Romans 5, 8, God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ gave up his life for us so that today you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. Do we want the abundant life? Do we want eternal life in Christ Jesus? Christ is calling us to put our trust in him. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Jesus has come to reconcile us to Abba Father. He has come, people of God, to place us into a relationship with our Father God. So we have to first put our trust in Jesus Christ the Son. We have to understand the Word of God. We must put our trust in the Son. If we don't put our trust in the Son, people of God, we can't say God is our Father. We have to acknowledge the Son. The Word of God tells us, if you don't acknowledge the Son, you can't acknowledge the Father. People of God, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. So we have to understand, people of God, we can't say we don't love Jesus, we don't want anything to do with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's the one who died for us. He tasted death for us. So today you and I can have life. Fulfilled life here on earth. Eternal life with God. So God is calling us, people of God, to understand that Jesus yielded up his life for us. He yielded up his spirit. No one took his life from him. He laid down his life and he took it up again. He is the all-powerful God. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, Jesus said. No one took his life from him. He laid it down for us. People of God, all he's asking us for is to fear him, reverence him, love Jesus. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We must love him. We must give him our all. Give it all to Jesus. Withholding nothing. He's calling us to complete surrender, people of God. Surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. He yielded up his life for us. The word said he yielded up his spirit. He gave up his life for us. He laid down his life and he took it up again. Look at verse 51 of Matthew 27. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. So we see, people of God, the veil of the temple torn. Remember, the veil was between the holy place and the holies of holies. There was a veil there, people of God, that only the high priest could go through yearly. Once a year he would go through to atone for the sins of the people. But people of God, this veil was now torn, giving us direct access to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. People of God, we should be praising God. We should be lifting up the name of Jesus. The veil of the temple was rented. So no more we have to go to a priest to confess our sins to a priest and to bring any bullock and goat or sheep to make atonement for our sins through the blood of these animals. This was in place for a time, people of God. But Jesus Christ came. These were the types and shadow of who was to come. Jesus Christ, the antitype, came. And he came, people of God, that all those types and shadows would be done away with. And Jesus Christ alone glorified. People of God, we have to understand this truth. The veil of the temple was torn, signifying the direct access that we now have to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And the word said in verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Many who died being faithful to God was now raised from the dead. The people of God, so many things were happening at the death of Jesus Christ. We have to understand the earth was quaking, rock splitting. So many things were going on, showing us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the divine one. He is deity. We have to understand this truth. So these graves were opened. And those saints who died in Christ, who died being faithful to God, was now raised from the dead. Look at verse 53 of Matthew 27. And coming out of the graves, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So we see, people of God, Matthew shows us quite clear here. They came out of the grave after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they came out of the grave after the resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. So we see, people of God, Jesus is the first fruit, the first of the harvest, the first of those who died and rose again, never to die again. We have to understand this truth. Somebody might be saying, but Lazarus was raised from the dead. But Lazarus died again. But Jesus Christ, the eternal King, people of God, he died once and for all. So we are going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 through 20. And Paul makes it clear here about the risen Christ, who is our blessed hope. So we are going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. The word of God said, now if Christ is preached that he had been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? It's preached that Christ is raised, and you are saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And we know he is risen, people of God. The word tells us that he is risen from the dead. So, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith is also empty. It's in vain. It's meaningless without Christ's resurrection. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. So some did not believe in the resurrection. So what they are saying, if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen at all. So Christ rose first. He is the first fruit, the word tells us. And those who die in Christ is risen after him. We have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. So there would be no hope for those who have fallen asleep in Christ if Christ was not risen. So if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of men the most pitiable. One translation said the most miserable. But look at verse 20, people of God. But now Christ is risen from the dead. We must understand this truth. Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. He is the first one to rise from the dead, never to die again. He tasted death once and for all, people of God. He died for us all. One time, he's not coming back to die again, people of God. That death was once and for all over 2,000 years ago. Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. He is the first of the harvest of souls. He is the first one to rise from the dead, never to die again. And people of God, those who die in Christ Jesus will also be resurrected from the dead. The word of God tells us when he comes back for the church, those who die in Christ will first be caught up to meet him, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him as well. So those who die in Christ first will be risen first. And those who are here, who have placed their trust in Jesus and living in fellowship with him, those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. Look at verse 54 of Matthew 27. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. People of God, is after all this catastrophe, after all this earthquake and rock splitting and all these things, the place in darkness, They became fearful. And they started to say, truly, this was the Son of God. So we see after all that happened, after Jesus' death, that was when the centurion and those with him became fearful and said, they voiced it, they said, truly, this was the Son of God. Of a certainty, this was the Son of God. With all that was happening, people of God, they came to realize that this was no ordinary man that was put on the cross. He was the Son of God. Their eyes were open to the truth that Jesus Christ is divine. Their eyes were open to the truth of the divinity of Jesus Christ. So people of God, what is that saying to us today? Let us put our trust in Jesus Christ now. Let us put our trust in Jesus Christ now. The word of God is coming to us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Let us put our trust in the word of God. Let us put our trust in Jesus Christ, who is the word. Let us do it now. Take Jesus at his word. Believe that he is the way. He himself said it in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. So we must take Jesus at his word, people of God. No one can be reconciled to God, the Father, but through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way, people of God. It's only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the only way to God, the Father. So people of God, we want to be ready to go with Jesus when he comes. We want to be ready when he comes for his church, when he comes for the bride. We do not want to be left behind. And then we will say, surely the message of salvation in Jesus Christ alone is true. We don't want to be like the centurion and those people that were with the centurion. They said, truly, this was the Son of God. It was after everything happened. That was when they started to believe that this truly was the Son of God. People of God, we don't want it to be too late for us. It will be too late if we don't put our trust in Jesus now. We must put our trust in Jesus now and be ready for his coming. Be ready and waiting for his coming. Living a life that is pleasing to him. Living a life of holiness and righteousness. For he has given us his grace so that we can live soberly and righteously in this present world. But we don't want to take it lightly. We don't want to take it as a joke. We don't want to be mocking and jeering God's people when they come with the good news of Jesus Christ. But we want to put our trust in Jesus now. It's a now thing. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, his word is his voice. If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God is calling you. You are hearing the word this evening. God is calling you. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. For there is no other way to God the Father but through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We want to be ready, people of God. He's coming back. He's coming back for his church. We do not want to be left behind. Many will be left behind and will be saying the same thing like this centurion and those that were with him, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Many will be saying, truly, what those people were preaching and teaching is truth. Jesus Christ is really real. People of God, we have to take him at his word right now. We can't wait until God's people are taken away. Then we are going to say it was really true that they were speaking. They were really giving that message of salvation, which is really truth. But we have to understand that it will be too late then. We don't want it to be too late, people of God. We want to be ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 55 of Matthew 27. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee were there looking on from afar. So we see Jesus, the women were also disciples of Jesus. This was no ordinary rabbi. Even the women would be followers of Jesus Christ. That was not heard of in those days. The other religious rabbis, they would not allow a woman to follow them. So, but Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, who loves everyone equally, the women, people of God, were accepted by him and they would follow him. So the women who were followers of Jesus never left him, even though they were afar off, but they were still there. And many of us are afar off in our walk with Christ Jesus, people of God, but we're still following him. So we see the women, they followed from afar off. Look at verse 56 of Matthew 27. Among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's son. So we see, people of God, we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, and four other Marys were mentioned in the gospel writings. We have Mary Magdalene, and that was the one that the seven devils, Jesus had cast out the seven devils from her. We can find that in Luke 8, 2 to 3. And we have Mary, the mother of James, and Joseph, not James the apostle. And we can find that in Matthew 27, 56. We have Mary of Bethany, that's Lazarus' sister. And we find that in John 11, 5. And we also have Mary, the wife of Clopas, John 19, 25. So we see other Marys also, other than the mother of Jesus, were mentioned in the gospel. So we see, people of God, all these women were followers of Jesus Christ. And they followed Jesus wholeheartedly, even though the word said they were afar off when he was crucified, but they were still there. So important, they were afar off, looking on from afar, but they were still there. So we have to understand, people of God, that all these women love Jesus. He had done so many great things for them that they chose to follow him wholeheartedly. And we also must choose to follow him wholeheartedly. God bless you here this evening. And continue to read the word of God. Continue to feed on the word and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this evening. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you, oh God, for dying on the cross that we might live. And because you live, we live. We thank you for the hope we have in you, Jesus. We thank you, oh God, almighty Lord Jesus, that you came and you died and you rose again and you live forevermore. Your word said you ever live to make intercession for us. Thank you that you are our mediator. Thank you, oh God, almighty Lord, that we have a living hope. And we look to you and we give you thanks and praise. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We bless you and we honor and we give you glory always. In Jesus' precious name we pray and we say amen. Amen. God bless you all this evening. Continue to read God's word. Continue to feed on God's word. Study to show yourself approved of God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Continue to feed on God's word. Eat the word of God, let it be sweeter than honey to your lips, and continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you here this evening. Have a wonderful rest of the evening and rest of the weekend, and continue to live for Jesus. That's all that matters. God bless you all, and we say amen and amen. Blessings.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.